The story of Edward Henry Harriman, financier and railroad magnate, born in Hempstead, Long Island, February 20th, 1848, the son of an Episcopal minister. His first job was as messenger boy for the brokerage house of D.C. Hayes. He rose rapidly and soon became managing clerk. Then, when only 22 years of age, he borrowed $3,000 from an uncle, bought a seat on the New York Stock Exchange, and went into business for himself. Though he prospered, it was not until after his marriage in 1879 to Mary, the daughter of William A. Averell, a leading upstate banker and president of the Ogdensburg and Lake Champlain Railroad Company, that he found his real life's work and started that amazing career which won for him the title of the Wizard of the Railroad.
I pronounce that ye be man and wife together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Get up there. Get up.
Oh, well, darling. At last, you're all mine.
Yes, Nick. For better or for worse. Oh, sweetheart, I'm so happy.
Oh, well, come now. You don't need to cry about it. Dear.
Oh, Ned. Don't you dare try to kiss me here in the carriage. People are looking at
us. Oh, let them learn.
And besides, you're crushing my dress.
Isn't it rather unusual for a bride to go away in a wedding gown?
I can change on the train. Father wanted me to drive to the depot like this.
By the way, where is your father? He disappeared right after the ceremony.
Oh, we'll see him at the train.
I hope so. Just because he's president of the railroad company, he insisted on making all the arrangements for our transportation.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, but confound it, he didn't give me any tickets or any passes or anything.
Don't worry about it, dear. Well, there's the depot. Oh, how pretty it looks.
Oh, it's all decorated in our honor.
Darling, look at that crowd.
Yes.
All the railroad employees and their families have come to see us off.
Oh, that's nice.
Wonderful.
Well, there you are, Mr. and Mrs. Harriman.
Yes, Father.
The honeymoon special.
A special train? Oh, why, Mr. Averell, I didn't expect that.
Yes, sir. You young folks are going to travel in style.
And look, Ned, painted on the locomotive. E. H. Harriman.
Well, that's the first time my name has ever appeared in connection with a railroad.
Well, perhaps it's a prophecy, my boy. You should be interested in railroads. They offer a world of opportunity for a young, energetic, and progressive businessman.
Now, Dad, don't start talking business on my wedding day.
Oh, all right, my dear. Think it over, Ned. There's a great future in railroading.
All good. Goodbye. Thanks again, children. Goodbye.
Harriman did think it over, and the following year became an active director in his father-in-law's line. He became director and later vice president of the Illinois Central, improved the road's physical condition, and greatly extended its mileage by the lease and purchase of other lines. It was in the pursuance of this policy of expansion that he had his first contest with the powerful J.P. Morgan. Harriman wished to get possession of a connecting road, the Dubuque and Sioux City, but the large shareholders, in an endeavor to get more for the stock than it was worth, turned their shares over to Morgan as trustee, thus balking Harriman's attempt to purchase a controlling interest. But Harriman was not beaten.
I now declare the annual meeting of the stockholders of the Dubuque and Sioux City Railroad Company open.
As owner of 15,000 shares of stock, I desire to place the following names in nomination as directors of the company.
Just a moment, Mr. Harriman. I represent J.P. Morgan and Company, who, as trustee for holders of 32,680 shares of stock, claims the right to name the board of directors.
May I see your authority, Mr. Hewitt?
Certainly. Here it is, signed by Mr. Morgan himself.
Exactly. By Mr. Morgan personally. Mr. Chairman, I challenge the validity of this order.
On what grounds?
Because it is signed by Mr. Morgan as an individual, not as trustee for the shareholders.
Oh, but that is a mere technicality.
Nevertheless, Mr. Hewitt, I cannot permit you to vote that stock at this meeting.
As a result of this shrewd move, Harriman was able later to buy a controlling interest in the road at a fair price instead of the inflated value put upon it by the stockholders. Other successful railroad ventures followed. Then, in 1897, he became interested in the Union Pacific. Badly financed, poorly built, inefficiently operated, the road in railroad circles was contemptuously spoken of as two streaks of rust across the prairies. The rolling stock was dilapidated. The roadbeds and bridges were in a deplorable condition.
Go in, Jack. We're nearly to the summit.
Well, I've given her all I can.
That's the boy. This is a pretty stiff climb.
Don't I know it?
Oh, there's a light at Summit Station. All right, Jack, it needs up now. Okay, Jack, climb up and give us some water.
Hey, Bill, it's 2 hours and 47 minutes late.
Why don't you tell me something I don't know?
Can't you pick up some time going downgrade?
You want me to run off on one of them sharp turns?
Of course not. The division superintendent kick like blazes because we're so late.
Well, let him kick. How can I make time on this rotten road bed?
Yeah, I know. Well, do the best you can.
All right, Bill, we're raring to go.
Okay. Doctor wants us to make up some time.
Yeah, I heard him. I guess the superintendent rides you pretty hard.
Well, what can they expect? They'll have to revise their schedule or spend a little money improving the road bed and equipment. Why, I haven't even got a decent headlight on this old freight. If I could see where we were going, maybe I could do a little better.
There's a long trestle over Cold Canyon coming up.
Yeah, got to slow down.
There sure are a lot of wooden trestles on this division.
Entirely too many, all over the system. They're dangerous. Ought to have earth sills or steel and concrete bridges. Just feel this baby swaying and trembling under it.
Yeah, this one's pretty rickety. I always feel better after we get across it.
Me too. Look out!
Such was the condition of the Union Pacific when Harriman got control of the line. He immediately inaugurated a $25 million program of rehabilitation and made it one of the finest railroads in the country. Its earnings increased 176%. In 1901, Harriman purchased the splendid far-flung Southern Pacific system, which, with his other lines, gave him the greatest railroad empire in the world. Suffering from an incurable malady, there were many times when he was unable to leave his bed. But in spite of pain and weakness, he continued to manage his business affairs with as much wisdom and energy as ever. We find him propped up in bed, giving orders to his secretary, when his wife enters the room.
And be sure to get in touch with Jacob Schief about those C&A 3% bonds. And don't forget to call up...
Now, there'll be no more business today. You're overtaxing your strength, dear.
All right, Mary. Now, that'll be all, Redmond. You can get in touch with me by phone if necessary.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Harriman. Mrs. Harriman?
Good morning. Now, you see, you're completely exhausted. Oh, Ned, I ought to give you a good scolding.
Well, I guess I'm walking a pretty thin plank. Won't be long now before it breaks.
If you'd only give up business altogether.
Oh, no, as long as I can, I owe it to the thousands of people who have invested vast sums of money in my enterprises to safeguard their interests.
Mm-hmm. Always thinking of others.
It sounds funny. After all the things I've been called, heartless, greedy, selfish, an octopus, undesirable citizen, a malefactor of great wealth.
Oh, that's because people don't know you as you really are. They forget all the unselfish things you've done. They forget how your railroads helped the stricken people of San Francisco at the time of the earthquake.
Oh, they don't figure that cost me anything.
And the millions you spent to save the Imperial Valley from being flooded by the Colorado River. Yes, and the Boys Club in New York that you've supported all these years.
Oh, yes. That reminds me. I want you to continue my donations to the club after I'm gone. And I hold a mortgage on the clubhouse. Of course, I never intended to foreclose, but I wish you'd cancel the mortgage and present it to the trustees with my compliments.
Why, of course, dear.
And I've set aside 12,000 acres of this estate and wish to donate $1 million for the purchase of other properties between here and the Hudson River to provide a recreation and health resort
for the people of New York City. And please see that that's done.
But, Ned, darling, wouldn't you like to do those things yourself when you're well again?
Well, I'm not going to get well, Mary.
Please, Ned.
Oh, there's no use trying to deceive ourselves. My race is about run. But it has all been very worthwhile. I'm proud of what I have accomplished, no matter what my enemies may say. If they are honest, they must admit that I've always been a builder, that my railroads have contributed immeasurably to the growth and prosperity of the country, and that if I have made millions for myself, I have also made countless millions for the people of America.
On September 9th, 1909, on his beautiful estate near Tuxedo, New York, Harriman died. His passing brought to an end one of the most interesting, adventurous, and constructive careers in the annals of our country. His splendid railroad systems, giving the best in transportation service, are monuments to his genius, his ability, and his dynamic energy. Edward Henry Harriman, Captain of Industry.